You are listening to Agincourt Pentecostal Church's audio podcast. The following message: You Have Never Been This Way Before, What to Expect When You Step Into New, was presented on Sunday, September 6, 2015, by Pastor Keith Smith. For message notes and readings that correspond with teachings on this podcast, visit our website at www.apchurch.com.
How many in this room have been up the CN Tower? How many have been to that part where it's all glass and you step out, you're supposed to step out on it? A little embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you because it helps me illustrate something. When I was up there, you know, people, some of them are just confidently going on the glass, but you look down, listen, you look straight down, it goes down 342 meters, that's 1,222 feet straight down to splat. And so when I was there being the cautious type, I just sort of look around, make sure no one was watching me, and I just sort of go like that and then step back. You know, and then just put a little more of my weight down and then just step back, you know. And then after a while, just one, two, just sort of, you know, finally I got so I could cross over because my mind was thinking the whole time, come on, Smith, people who designed this thing knew what they were doing. They don't want to get sued. It's not that they care, but no, but they have knowledge. They know what they're doing and they care about people that are here. They don't want them to go splat. And so I was thinking about that when I was putting my weight down and finally, I didn't go twice, but at least I crossed over once. You know what I'm saying? And we have been in this series where we have said, you know, where does God want you to go where you've never been before? But he promises to bless you if you go there. And we've been talking about the people of God coming out of the Exodus or along the Jordan River over there, as Joshua told them through the leaders, you know, you've never gone there before. But they knew God wanted them there and he would bless them. Way back to great-great-grandpa Abraham, he had told them that that was the land that he had given them, that he was going to make them into a nation through whom all nations of the world would be blessed. It was God's big purpose and plan. So they knew that they could proceed with confidence. But, you know, when they got to the Jordan River and they go to take the first step, remember the previous generation said, no, we ain't going there. We're scared. What the people might do to us, we're grasshoppers, they're giants, splat. So we're not going there. And so I don't know about you, I don't know what it's like for you. When I talk about water baptism, how many it's like, well, you know, maybe later, some other time. And you just don't want to go there right now. You know God wants you there, you know it's the right thing. You can go to a class and get to understand the scriptural meaning of it even more. And then for some of you, how many, when I talk about, instead of saying to someone, oh, when you hear about a problem they're going through, okay, I'll pray for you. Saying, instead of that, let's pray right now. Not all the time, but when it's appropriate, when the timing and context is right, let's pray right now. How many know the Bible says if two or three are gathered together, Jesus is right there. And he says, if you agree on any one thing, I will do it for you. In other words, God knows what he's talking about. And he knows that we'll have something special if we'll go there and just do something we've maybe never done before. And I can pray for someone, a brother or sister in Christ, just to go there. And tithing from our income, not just because it's, you know, well, it's such a great investment. There's no more important message in the world today than that there's a God who loves them. This life is not all there is. They can have forgiveness and eternal life with Jesus Christ forever. Amen? There's no other more. So it just makes sense to take some of our income and finance the proclamation of that message, the most important message everyone would hear. But there's also a step of faith that's involved. God, you promised that if I tithe right from the Old Testament, Jesus affirmed it in the New Testament, told the Pharisees to do it with a right attitude, but you would pour out a blessing upon me that I could not contain. But what stops us from going over there? And then witnessing. When that conversation comes up, you know, and we could just, well, I could tell someone what Jesus did for me. And what stops us from going over there? And then in the back of your bulletin, did you notice all of the volunteer opportunities to make the difference in the life of a child here in Toronto, a children in our church family, just lots of opportunities. Now, how many children are here and you're going into a new grade this year and it's a little bit scary? I asked a girl last week, she was so sweet and honest with me. I say, are you sort of excited about going into a new grade? She said, I'm excited, but it's also a bit scary, she said, you know? But maybe that's the way, because you've never gone there before. Do you know what, children? At the end of my message today, I'm going to pray for all of the students in this room. I'm going to pray for all the students because God wants to be with you when you go to school this year. He wants to be right there with you. So I'm going to pray about that. But it can be other areas. It can be, you know, a commitment in a relationship. Could be a career or educational objective. You just know it's the right thing, and God's been speaking to you about that. It can be something personal. You know, the number one regret, remember a few months ago we saw the number one regret that people have on their deathbeds is that they in their earlier life could have gone to where they knew that they could and should go, but they didn't do it. And so what can we expect if we take a step out into that Jordan River, out into the glass on the CN Tower, you know, in our situation, what can we expect if we step out? We put our weight down to cross over to the other side. Well, first I'm going to tell you three things not to expect, okay? How many ready for three reality checks? And then we're going to, before we pray, look at three things that we should expect, all right? First of all, what not to expect. Don't expect it to be exactly like a previous experience. Can you picture Joshua, hundreds of thousands of the Exodus people, the people of God, poised along the Jordan River, preparing for it four decades now for this moment? In recent days, the preparation has intensified, and they're about to step over, and then Joshua gives the instructions. He gives the go-ahead with these words. He says, now, by the way, I need to tell you, how far was it over to the other side? It was over 30 meters. That's 90 feet. How deep was it? At least 3 meters, which means it was 10 feet. How many know, even the tall people, it was over their head? So Joshua says this, okay, people of God, go stand in the river. Priests, you go first. Stand in the river. What do you think the reaction was? Come on. For four decades now, if they knew no other story, they knew the story of how God had, through Moses leading the people, parted the Red Sea. They crossed over on dry ground. And so they know how this is going to work. This is how God works, right? This is what, you know, give me that old-time religion, right? They know exactly how it's going. If it's good enough for Moses, it's good enough for me. So you can imagine them saying to Joshua, Josh, don't stop joshing us. Come on. We know how this is supposed to work. You put the staff over the Jordan River like Moses did for the Red Sea, and we're going to cross on dry ground. No one's supposed to get their feet wet, Joshua. No one. Well, it doesn't happen that way. Joshua doesn't do it like Moses did. Why? People are saying, come on, come on. It's the way we did it last time. The God of Moses is still our God today. Now, how many understand that some things have not changed? How many are thankful God's love and his character, his mercy, his grace, his justice? How many are thankful we never have to worry about that changing? Amen? God. How many are glad that the gospel message does not change? That whatever people on the planet do, God's not going to change that he sent Jesus to provide forgiveness and a whole new chance at a whole new life in Christ and then eternal life in the afterlife. Nothing's going to, how many are thankful that's not going to change? The message doesn't change. Our God does not change. It will always require faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It will always require faith to trust Jesus. He's going to take some people off this planet into eternity that want to do what's right, want to make a difference in the lives of others, that free themselves from selfishness and want to live for God. It will always require faith to trust God that he wants to do that. But a lot has changed since Moses' time. The place, they're a different place. It's not the Red Sea, it's the Jordan River. The method, the way that God wants to get them there has changed. The time, the context has changed. Do you know this is true? The Christian and the church that always misses what God wants them to move into next is the church or Christian that insists that it always look like the previous experience. Stylistically, same songs, same clothing. Have you ever looked at a picture of people who went to church in Canada in the 1950s? The women with the, I don't even know what they called them, you know, just buns? Anyway, just Martians, like just, you know, wow, that's what we looked like. I see myself back then, you know, just, anyway, it's just, how many know some things change? How many are very glad some things change? There are two dangers here. One is that we expect methods and styles not to change because our message does not change. On the other hand, there are those that, you know, well, change the message along with the methods and the styles. You know, I love that about our church family. I love that about our church family. Our church family is open to the new as long as it means we never miss what is true. Always. We don't get on bandwagons or trends. We just say, we're cautious. We say, we want to know this is of God. We want to know it's true. We want to be creative about the things that Jesus gave us to do. We want to be creative and fresh about the things that when we stand before Jesus someday, he'll say, well done. I'm glad that you were creative about the things that really mattered. And I love that about the people of God in Joshua. When the people of God with Joshua or at the Jordan River, does it look like the previous experience? No. But is it fulfilling the same plan of God in a new experience? Yes. And so don't expect when you step out in this fall for it to look exactly like a previous experience. Secondly, don't expect it to be all easy peasy and ideal. Some people, here's their view. Oh, I'm stepping out into something new that God wants me to do. He is going to bless me to do. This is going to be wonderful. I'm stepping, I just can't. Listen, I am going to witness to someone and the words are going to flow and they're going to pray to receive Jesus right then. I am going to go teach a Sunday school class of children and they're all going to be angels. Children, you're here today. Are you angels? No. You know, I'm going to start tithing, and I know I'm going to get a raise the following week. You know what I'm saying? There's some people that have. I got something to point out because the Bible says in the New Testament that the Old Testament is written so that we could learn lessons from the people there about God and how the ways of God with people. And so let's learn. Let me ask you a question. How many think that because the people of God were going exactly where God wanted them to go and he would bless them there, how many think when they stepped into the Jordan River, the water was nice and warm? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't like, you know, the Gulf Stream off Prince Edward Island or the West Indies or Florida. It wasn't like water like that. It came just like in the Rocky Mountains of Canada where snow melted down the mountains of northern Israel and it warmed up a bit as it went across the land under the sun, but it still was not warm. If we're up north at my cottage, my wife never thinks it's the will of God to go into the water if it's cold. Another question for you. Do you think that because they were going in the will of God, the time of God, and they were just doing exactly what God wanted to head over to the other side, do you think that the water was at its lowest level, nice and convenient? Do you think the timing was just appeared to be perfect? Do you think so? Well, now you know, because you know where I'm going with this, right? Do you know, let me give you a couple of phrases that the Bible uses. It says the water was at flood stage. Another time it says the water was overflowing its banks. This is, when they were asked to cross over, the water was at the highest level of the entire year. What am I saying? Dear one, don't anyone ever tell you that if you are in the will of God, everything is going to be easy peasy and ideal. Amen? Yeah. We saw that last weekend, didn't we? In this world, you will have tribulation, but then he goes on, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have trials, so we know that God is real. We're going to see a little bit more about that in a moment, but there's some people, you know, well, I signed up to teach children. Suffer the little children. What do you mean I have to fill out forms for Plan to Protect? You know? Or a kid here goes into a new school year. I'm going to live for Jesus here. I had my devotions before I went to school. I'm going to live for Jesus, and then somebody's mean to them. What's that all about? I'll never forget this guy. I almost looked where they sat when they came here, but he came to me. He was ticked off at me. I had taught that you can trust God with your finances, much like I said earlier at the offering time, that when we give, we're supporting, we're financially resourcing the most important message getting out to people in the world, you know? And I said, now you need to trust God with a tithe of your income. Esther and I have done this through good times, bad times, we trust, all this stuff, and I taught on it. And so he and his wife went home and they decided they were going to tithe. I don't know, it was the next week, but it wasn't long after he came up to me and he said, we heard what you said from the Bible about tithing. My wife and I decided to tithe. Pastor, that very same week, our car broke down. He faced an unexpected bill. But the thing was, he thought I was responsible. He was ticked off at me, not even at God. You know, ticked off at me. How many understand that just because you obey God doesn't mean it's going to be all easy? If we didn't have a problem, we'd never know that God could solve them. We'd never know what faith in God. So don't be immature about that. If you step out to follow what God wants, it's not all going to be easy and ideal. And third, don't expect to do it alone. Don't expect to do it alone. Can you imagine how encouraging it must have been for hundreds of thousands of God's people to look and see the different generations and see one another, and they're all going to cross over together. Spies had gone out and done the dangerous work. Leaders had had the vision, and they had equipped other leaders who had prepared God's people. I mean, they were all going together. This was an exciting time. It almost felt like they were having a church experience together. You know, I remember this. When I was at the CN Tower, and I did want to put all my weight down, I remember that I saw kids jumping on the thing, you know? And then I read something that said, the glass is strong enough. It's five times, you know, the necessary laminated glass, blah, blah, and it will hold 35 moose. Well, you know, I just kept thinking, what happens if 36 moose go on it? You're kapoof, you know, there they go. No, I mean, anyway, you don't want to know all the thinking about what restaurants could serve at the, anyway, it's just, I just, when you see the it can intimidate, it can cause fear to rise up, but then I'd see all these people going, and that encouraged me. It encouraged me because I could see that other people would cross and they were safe. So it was all right for me. You see, in Joshua 3, it says the officers went out throughout the camp. The Ark of the Covenant was there. Imagine looking over and seeing that God is with us. The Levitical priests and the people moving out of their position. How encouraging was that? Now, I want to say something to our children here, because spies had already gone out and done the dangerous stuff, right? They'd gone, spied out the land so that people could have a safe trip over. There were leaders that had sacrificed and had vision. I want to say to our children here that the reason why you have rooms to go to learn about God, and that you have teachers that are there to tell you about God, is because some of the adults in your church family love you and sacrifice for you. And children, you know what? Next time you see your teacher, why don't you say thank you to them? You know, someone that one of your leaders and your, you know, Pastor Marilyn and Valerie and different ones, to say thank you to them. Do you think that'd be good? And what, while we're talking about children, do you know how you got here today? Guess who brought you? A parent who cares that you learn about how much God loves you and has a plan for your life. Isn't that true? Isn't that wonderful? God wants you to have a wonderful future, children. And so you need to be thankful for parents that care enough. There's a lot of kids in Toronto that don't have parents that care that they learn about God, because the parents don't even know God themselves. So how many know it'd be good to say thank you to parents? You don't have to say it like, oh, I thank you. You know, just thanks. You know, just let it blurt out sometime today. They'll know what you're talking about. But thank God we can do it together. And listen, teenagers, junior highs, don't try and do it alone. Don't try and live for God alone this year. You know, we've got junior high, senior high gatherings. And yes, it's tough to get to know new friends, but a young adults group, Pastor Chris gives leadership to, for university college students. If you're new in the city, going to one of our city's wonderful universities or colleges, don't try and do it alone. Get together with other people who also are following Jesus. Amen? So don't try and do it alone. All right, so what have we seen so far? If you're going to step out into what God has for you, number one, don't expect it to look like a previous experience. Number two, don't expect it all to be easy and ideal. And number three, don't expect to do it alone. But what can we expect? What can we expect when we go to do what God wants us to do in a new season in our life? Well, first of all, do expect to have to prepare. To have to prepare. Watch this. A student going to school, or a person going to work, that said, you know, I haven't had a daily time with God, but I'm going to go where I've never gone before. Watch this. If you have that time, it's going to take some preparation. Where are you going to read in the Bible? What are you going to talk to God about? You've got to learn. I'm talking about those at 101. But you've got to get started there. I think one of the best ways is to read a psalm every day. Just keep going through 1 to 150. Read through a psalm every day. And then go over to one of the gospels. And don't try and read a chapter a day. Don't make it your objective to get through a certain amount of words. Make it your objective to get to a point where the word of God speaks to your heart. And then just meditate on it. What's that saying to me? How can I live this out today? And so just get started. And it's amazing how it'll change your day. Now, water baptism. How many know if you're going to get water baptized, we've got some things we want you to understand from the Bible, but we also, there's some logistics. Do you bring a towel? You know, you need to know these things. And so you prepare. You go to classes. Tithing. You get offering envelopes. You go online. You set up automatic deductions. You take action. You prepare. Witnessing. Did you notice in your bulletin, I asked Pastor Austin to put in there, what are some of the best resources that we have from Right Now Media, which are open to you and our church family, every one of you, to go and learn how, you know, you can walk across the room or tell people about Jesus, and so they're there for you. That's what training camp's all about. You know, just prepare. Take some action to prepare. How many know that Joshua didn't just line up with hundreds of thousands of people of God and tell them to go jump in the river, go jump in the lake? Didn't it? Took a lot of preparation. Decades, understanding what the Bible says. Then he says, in 3 days, this is going to happen. Then the leaders say, tomorrow, God is going to do amazing things among you. They prepared, all the people doing their part. So it takes preparation. If you want to go to a place where God wants you to go and be blessed in a new area of your life, number one, you need to prepare. Number two, you need to express faith with the first step and every step. If you have your Bible or Bible app there, Joshua 3, and then find verse 14. Notice, just turn on the video screen of your mind, kids, okay? See if you can picture this happening. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet, as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. Do you know what that meant? That meant when the priests stood out into the river, that the water was still flowing. Do you see that? It was not only different from a previous experience, it took a step of faith to step out there because it was kilometers upstream on the Jordan at a little town called Adam, that the water stopped flowing. By the way, interesting that in 1927, there was a landslide in that very same location, and the water of the Jordan stopped flowing downstream for 21 hours. Did the Lord time and orchestrate a landslide? I don't know how he did it, but the water stopped flowing. But it didn't happen right away. When they stepped out, then the water was blocked off upstream. So the priests are out there, knee-deep in water, saying, okay, God, anytime now. Anytime now you can work. You see, it only didn't look like the previous experience. They had to sort of get out there and persevere. They had to sort of wait, to take action, but then wait for God to go to work. Do you remember that verse from Hebrews that I gave you on the way out the doors last week? Hebrews 10, verse 36. You need to persevere. How many know persevere means you keep doing something? You just keep at it. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, then you will receive what he has promised. You know, I've always wondered what would have happened to that couple, that guy that came to see me, where, remember, he said, okay, we tithed, and then we got a car bill. I always wonder what would have happened if he got out there, knee-deep, and he said, okay, God, we decided to tithe, and it's like our faith is being tested now. God, we are going to trust what you say about being our provider more than we trust what's happened to our car. Amen? Always wondered what would have happened if he had have just kept persevering and saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you in this. You see, it's not just the first step. It's every step is a step of faith. Every step. It's like this confusing intro. I was reading through Joshua 3, and it's beautiful. You know, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is going ahead. And then you come to verse 11, and it's like, what in the world is that verse doing there? It says, now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. Joshua, is there not a better time for that than when we're going across a river? Let's get the people across, and then we'll have an election. You know, like, what are you doing? What's choosing 12 men got to do with getting across there? Why are you interrupting it with that? But watch this now. If you keep on reading the Bible, when they get over to the other side, you find out that God has 12 men go and take 12 stones to make a monument so they can give praise. And when their children ask, what is that monument for? They will remind them of God's faithfulness, how he brought his people into the promised land. He did a miracle. He brought them through on dry ground. How many have gone through, you got knee deep or you had a test of your faith, but you kept going till you got to the other side and then you understood God was at work all the time. Amen? You know what someone told me on the way out of the first service? They told me that at the CN Tower, if you go there and you pull up, you know, you have that glass area where you go down to splat. If you look, guess what's under the carpet? I haven't checked it out. I'm going by what they said, but it's a great illustration. Guess what's under the carpet? The same glass. I thought, boy, you know, so, it's just as safe to go and trust God with what looks scary as to trust his faithfulness because he's been good to you where you've already been. Amen? Just as good. It's good. But... It's like we sometimes get out there and then we face a test or face something and we think, you know, God, well, these confusing things, why is this happening? You know, it's sort of How many know his mercies are new every morning? But he will test our faith every morning too, right? I mean, every day is a new day of trust and faith. I tweeted this out to some of you that saw it, but I just, because some of you are going to ask for pictures and you're going to ask me questions, so I'm going to try and take care of my whole church family right now. Something very exciting happened in our family on September 1st. The arrival of our second grandson. See, he's already going, this is amazing grace. He's already doing it. This is quite a gifted kid, yeah? This is Finley Edward Clayton. All family names. Anyway, it's just a wonderful little guy. And I think maybe he's going to have blue eyes. So I'm not sure. But you know, the kids said to me, I had just walked into the room, and of course there's tears and there's gratitude, and Esther's been there helping, and they said to me, they said, Dad, could you bless our son? It was like I'd never prayed before. You know what I'm saying? How many children have I blessed? I have a little box in my office that I have from Bombay Company that I keep all the names of all of our children. If you're 20 years old and you've been attending here all 20 years, kid, I probably dedicated you. You know what I'm saying? And I pray over the kids, but it was just like, God, this is so new, this new life. How many want to live the kind of life where you trust God afresh every day? And he keeps testing your faith because he keeps wanting to take you to new places. Amen? And then third, not just expect to exercise your faith every step of the way, but also expect God's help to get you to the other side and beyond. Expect God's help to get to the other side. I love the way chapter 4 starts. Listen to this. When the whole nation, no one drowned, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, how many know they all got to the other side? I just love that about our God. You know, so many in my church family have said, Pastor, this fall of 2015, we're facing things in our life that we've never faced before, and there's new ministries and outreaches, and you're going to pray and get in the scripture and serve and witness. Some are going to be water baptized. A lot of us are just going to new places we've never been before. And I want to say to you, you can expect God to get you there and to bless you when you get there. Listen, I'll never forget this man who was water baptized. His wife had become a Christian first, and then he gave his life to the Lord. He is out in Edmonton, and we used to have we had a baptismal service every month. So many people were coming to Christ, and then we had them all over to our townhouse after. By the way, all 50 or 60 of you don't show up at my condo after being baptized, all right? But we would have them over, and just a way of just affirming and celebrating with them, over to our townhouse. And there was this one guy, businessman in our city, a leading businessman, head of the Chamber of Commerce, and he was also a very, very heavy smoker. And so he was getting out of his car in the visitors area of our townhouse complex, and he said to his wife, as he picked up his cigarettes, he said, I guess I wouldn't be right to smoke at the pastor's place. So he left them behind. And you know what? He never touched a cigarette again. You say, is it magic to come to your house? No. Watch this. Here's, and I explained it to him. Here's what happened. When you obey Jesus, when you go to a new place, you can expect a miracle. You can expect God to do something. Is it going to be all ideal and easy? No. But will God's affirmation be there? Yes. His presence, and he'll do something new. He'll do something new there. I'll never forget this guy. He was university professor who came to Christ, and he heard me teach about tithing and how take your income, make a difference with your tenure on earth in the lives of other people, and invest in God's kingdom. And he phoned me up during the week, and he said, Pastor, he said, I tithed for the first time last Sunday, and he said, I cannot explain to you the joy I felt when I put that envelope in the plate. Canada, you know, how many of there's just something that happens of God when we, how many have ever been in the Bible that morning and gone out during the day, and exactly what you needed during the day, you had already read about in the Bible that morning? I mean, I don't know how many, I've been doing what I'm doing now for 30 some years, over 35 years. I don't think there's ever been a weekend of services that someone hasn't said to me, Pastor, what you talked about was exactly what God's been saying to me. Exactly what. It's just amazing how when you go to do what God wants you to do, how his affirmation is always there. And I want to say to you, dear one, when you step out in faith to go where God wants you to go, when you say what he wants you to say, give what he has for you to give, when you are what he wants you to be, and when you serve the people that he wants you to serve, that he's gifted you to serve, I want you to know that God's going to show up on the other side and he is going to bless you. You're going to experience his blessing. Oh, how many are thankful that he who has begun a good work within us is going to carry it through to completion? But we need to keep moving into all that he has for us. God always finishes what he starts. All right, there was this missionary in Africa who was translating the New Testament into the dialect of the people of a particular tribe. He came to a word, he didn't know how to translate it. They didn't have any counterpart for the English word that's in the Bible so many times, the word believe. Haggai explains to me what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust God, to give him your future, to place your trust in him. How are you going to explain this to him? One day, a messenger came running in to report to the tribal chief of the tribe that he was staying with, translating the Bible for. And this messenger came in, and he'd been running, and he was exhausted. He gave the message, then he went over to a hammock, and he just laid himself down, and he blurted out a phrase. And it wasn't that the translator was looking for the answer for the word believe, but he just asked out of curiosity, what did he just say when he relaxed in the hammock? He said, I'm going to place all of my weight here. That was the phrase that he used in the translation of their Bibles for the word believe. Dear one, I want to tell you that whatever it is that God wants you to do, you can put all your weight there. You can believe. You can trust. You can step out into what looks scary. You can step out into where you've never been before. And how many know God will be with you and he will bless you there? It's a safe place to go because it's where God wants you to go. Amen? So children, we're going to pray with you in a few moments, but how many know this school year is going to be a safe place for you to go because God is with you. And we're going to pray for you in a few moments. But listen, it doesn't matter where God wants you to go. The safest place you will ever go, however scary it is in the natural, is to be right where God wants you, right where he calls you to go. So go there today. Matter of fact, musicians are going to come. I'm going to give you a few moments. Children, use these moments to say, Jesus, when I go to a new grade, I want to live for you. And I want to find something in the Bible every day. Sometimes I might forget, but I want to find something in the Bible that will help me live for you. Every adult in this room, where does God want you to go? What's your next step? What's your next step? If you're going to go in fall 2015 to where God wants you to go, where do you need to trust God? Listen, where do you need to put your weight down? I want to invite you to identify that place and then just begin to say, okay, and Jesus, I'm going to prepare and I'm going to take my first steps to go there. This is the way God works, right? Abraham, the man of faith, what did God say to him? Go to the land I will show you. He didn't explain it all. He said, go. And Abraham went and God blessed him. And we're here today because that nation was blessed and brought about our Messiah, Jesus. Remember Peter in the boat? Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come to you. Jesus says, okay, come. He was teaching Peter a lesson. Don't you try it at home. Teaching Peter a unique lesson. You can trust me when I say it's a safe place to go, even if it's walking on water. If it's me that's telling you to go there, you can go there. I don't know where it is that you need to just say, God, I'm going to go to where you want me to go. I'm going to put my weight into the first steps, and I'm going to trust you to get me over to the other side.
You were listening to Agent Court Pentecostal Church's audio podcast. Make sure you don't miss a message by subscribing to this podcast. Click the subscribe button on our website at www.apchurch.com/podcast or search for Agent Court Pentecostal Church in the iTunes store. All creative content and production for this podcast is provided by the Creative APC team.